So, welcome. My name's Andrew Gall. I lead AIMAVAR. I've been in the corporate venturing open innovation space for about 20 years now. Worked a lot with Silicon Valley Bank in London, California, China. I've known Alex for probably too many years than we want to mention, Alex. We're doing a series here of sessions, which are more sort of discussion groups. We deliberately kept these to small groups so that people can ask questions and give their perspectives to share learning. We've done previous sessions with Tony Askew from Reed Elsevier, Relex Ventures. Neil Foster has looked at board role responsibilities. Min Zhao, who runs China Materialia in China, has spoken, and they've got six LP corporate LPs in China. And we've made those available on our video and podcast sort of channel. This QR code behind me, if you can, you can go and scan that later and get connected. What are the numbers and what's happening within the investment fund and venture space? And as we know, Silicon Valley Bank is really at the center of a high proportion of deals, which I'm sure Alex will give us perspectives on. So he's going to kick off giving his overview, and we'll then have an opportunity for discussion and interaction and that following that. So over to you, Alex. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Andrew. And hi, everyone. I think I know about half of you, and thank you for joining. And for the half that I don't, my name's Alex McCracken. I'm a managing director at Silicon Valley Bank in Europe. I've been there about 10 years, helped set up the bank in Europe. And we are a bank only for tech companies in most of the major tech geographies in the world. We've got about 3,500 clients in the UK and 40,000 globally, and they're mostly VC or private equity backed. And we've got about 5 billion of loans out to VC backed businesses, and a 4 billion funder fund, and a 500 million direct fund, which I get involved with in Europe. And I also lead on our developing partnership relationships between our clients and your portfolio companies and the many corporates that we know. We know a few hundred corporates, particularly in Europe and the US. So we like to build partnerships. So that's what I do. But to set the scene, if Andrew could put the presentation up, our analytics team every quarter does a review of the state of the markets, trying to add a little bit more thought than, say, just a normal pitch book analysis. So they put together this Q2 deck, which I'll run through, you know, 10 or 12 slides just to set the scene before we have a discussion around some of those trends, which is, and it's very much around learning from previous downturns, as well as looking forward and what we think might happen in 2020. So in summary, tech is bearing up. As you can see, the world is in recession in Q2, with the exception of what China claims and India claims, but we shall see if those numbers change. But despite that, tech, as we know, if you look at NASDAQ, is almost at pre-COVID levels, which were record highs. And in previous bear markets, post-dot-com boom and post-global financial crisis, the public tech markets were above pre-crisis levels within 3 months, and then higher still after 6 months, and then higher still after 12 months. And we certainly think that is likely to happen here. As we all know, everybody's moving remote, and that's playing to all the digital trends that we are backing. So this recession feels like it could be the dreaded U or W, or it's probably not likely to be L from whatever we read. But certainly tech is already doing well in some areas. Not so well in others, of course, in the consumer side, or some areas of consumer, but those are the trends we shall dive into now. I think the good news is this time round, it feels different, certainly in Europe. And obviously also in the US, there's a ton of funds with a lot of dry powder, both on the venture capital side and the private equity side. A lot of the PE funds have been sat on their hands in the last 12 months, thinking that valuations were too racy. A lot of growth VC funds as well were missing out on some deals deliberately, thinking valuations were too racy. So a lot of funds had also raised in recent times. And in Europe alone, we've tracked 150 VC funds that have raised since mid-2019. So they will have dry powder to deploy in Europe, which could be a good thing. We're seeing some deals getting done, net new deals, as well as obviously a lot more follow-ons. But I think the more concerning part could be the bottom graph on this chart, which is around LP commitments. And we're all already hearing from a lot of our VC friends that the planned fundraise for 2020 is going to take a lot longer. The first and second closes will be smaller. They may even postpone fundraising until times are good. And that's obviously because a lot of the LPs are feeling the pinch. A lot of the corporate LPs have more pressing matters to attend to. A lot of the pension funds and sovereign wealth have been hit by the market declines. And so their relative weighting to venture, they now can't allocate as much. Now, we haven't heard of any LPs failing to commit capital when asked. But, you know, we shall see if any of those defaults happen. But more to come, I think, on the LP side. I think the other thing, however, of slight concern is relative lack of experience. There's a lot of funds raised in recent years where the GPs have not been through a recession before, particularly at the early stage. So the grey segments on the left-hand side of all these pie charts means not experienced a recession before, whereas the light blue means these people have been around more than 20 plus years, been through a couple of downturns. And so I think the more experienced GPs and CVCs that have been around the block a bit, couple of decades, they weren't writing racy checks too much in the previous 12 months, and B, they've got good reserves in the main, and C, they're seeing opportunity to come back into the market as valuations are falling. However, there are a large number of inexperienced GPs. This is their first downturn. We're keeping a close eye on them. But I think another key concern is the bottom chart, which is, sorry, if you flip back, Andrew, the bottom pie chart here is around the CEO experience. And this is in the US, 82% of VC-backed CEOs haven't been through a recession before. So I think they've been leaning heavily on their investors to get good advice on cost cutting, extending cash runway, but it remains to be seen whether those inexperienced managers can get through. Next slide, please. Obviously, in previous downturns, this is a global financial crisis of 08-09, we did see a decline. We saw a decline in valuations of circa 30 to 40% at late stage, far less at early stage, more like 15%. That seems to be bearing out slightly in what we've seen in the UK and the US. But as most managers are focused on supporting their current portfolio, either they haven't had to put in new capital, the companies were fairly well funded, had 6 to 18 months of cash anyway, or if a round needed to be done, it was an inside round done at a convertible. So they're deferring the valuation discussion. And the few new deals that we've seen get done in Q2, certainly in the UK, valuations have held up pretty well because they tend to be mostly early stage seed deals or even a Series A. And so the valuation corrections have not been seen yet. But we'll turn to the discussion points at the end, but it'd be interesting to see what everyone's experiencing on the valuation front. Now, this slide's always the positive one around, yes, unemployment is rising. So circa 30% unemployment rate in the US now, and obviously rising in the UK. But as in previous downturns, new company formation, new VC-backed company formation tends to rise post these crises as furloughed workers and unemployed workers set up new businesses. So we can all see the famous logos at the bottom, founded in the downturns, previous downturns. Actually, 41% of today's unicorns were founded during the global financial crisis, and 9% of the NASDAQ was founded in the GFC. So let's hope that that trend continues. Next slide, please. What we have seen in recent years, the top chart here was a flight to or a desire at growth stage for investors to find companies that were relatively less cash burning. So the dark blue line is EBITDA margin, which, as you can see in 2017 and previous, actually, they were heavily loss making, and it was growth at all costs and high burn type companies were flavor of the time, whereas 2019 and Q1 20 losses tended to be less at growth stage investing. In the bottom chart on the left, down and inside rounds remained fairly stable through 2019 and Q1 20. Now we expect to see that number rise through 2020 on both sides of inside and down rounds. Now we will track that quite closely. And the bottom right chart, obviously, deal activity fell. So this is our index, which if you consider week one, January in the US at 100 in the index, then it rose through Q1 and obviously fell dramatically through Q2. And we're certainly seeing that in Europe in terms of absolute deal numbers. But, you know, a lot of follow-on rounds have been done at an uplift in valuation and large check sizes, and the founders already were known and had been met by funds. So volume is down, but value has held up quite well so far. Cash runway. Now, we're tracking cash runway by sector, and as you can see, a lot of service and consumer electronics and hardware businesses have relatively less cash in our portfolio, whereas enterprise infrastructure and payments in the blue lines had a longer cash runway. And most investors we've talked to, and including ourselves, were focused on making sure companies had at least 18 months cash and were cutting costs or trimming budgets accordingly. Because if you look at the bottom chart, the global financial crisis bear market lasted about 18 months. The dot-com bear market lasted 33 months. So we all know that if this downturn continues, the companies will need a good length of cash runway to get through. So moving on to some of the sector trends, obviously, as everyone moves to remote, a lot of consumers, this was consumer search trends. Consumers were flocking to alternative healthcare, food delivery, remote work, remote learning and remote leisure. And we do think that will continue as business travel decreases and the usual sort of travel and dining and experience economy will remain fairly moribund even when lockdowns lifted. If you look to China, people are, yes, going out for the occasional coffee and going out to have a bit of food sat outside, socially distanced, but they're not flocking to travel or dine with the regularity. Next slide, please. But we are seeing a massive ramp in online spending. So the top charts in the UK, it was a 50% increase in online spend in Q2. So a massive increase in proportion of online as a percent of total retail sales is well north of 30% now. And then if you look at the bottom chart, this is consumer credit card spend by category. You can see all the areas in red at the top as that fell year on year. Whereas the bottom section is more of the trending up, online electronics and grocery and all the home improvements and total online retail in the US as a proportion of credit card spend was double what it was a year ago, all driven by COVID. Now, the question is whether that trend will continue in the US as lockdowns are lifted and do people rush back to the mall, or do they actually act a bit more like the UK and continue shopping online and getting things delivered to the houses. That's a trend we'll be watching closely. Next slide, please. Andrew, are you able to flick to the next slide? Perfect. So enterprise software has borne up quite well. These are Q1 trends. So these are the median deal sizes on the left for UK, Europe and the US. These were up on Q4 19. And we haven't really seen much of a drop in median deal size or valuations at Series A yet. Again, we'll track these closely, but enterprise software seems to be bearing up in our portfolio. Next slide, please. Deep tech, more IP-rich type deals. Again, median deal sizes and valuations holding up. These are 2019 figures. Again, there's relatively less deals, so we wanted to make sure we had a representative sample, but we haven't seen a drop-off. Fintech, Q1 saw a massive rise in fintech M&A. Some big acquisitions, Credit Karma and Plaid by FinServes, and we expect to see that continue as a lot of the FinServes realise that the move to digital and these neo banks and fintech solutions are exactly what's needed to serve remote customers remotely, do remote due diligence, etc. And all the big public FinServes have a lot of cash, over $1 trillion of cash. And a lot of the FinServes seem to be doing reasonably well. Banks are lending more in the crisis. There is more demand for credit in this crisis. But again, it's a trend we're going to be tracking closely since we're a bank anyway. And then lastly, the international trade scene has shifted. So already prior to the crisis, with the trade war, shipments from China to the US had dropped. The US was trying to source more supply from other countries outside of China, so Malaysia, Philippines, Thailand, etc. And the big tech majors were all making very public statements around shifting supply chain away from China. And we expect that to continue, especially as the rhetoric ramps up between Trump and the president of China. So I think supply chain trends are very interesting to watch. A lot of big corporates are obviously shifting supply chain as per the tech majors, but also analyzing risks in their supply chain. And we're seeing demand in our portfolio for supply chain monitoring type solutions. So that concludes the quick canter through the slides. I think it'd be wonderful to hear everyone's thoughts and opinions on some of those trends.
Thank you very much, Alex. Great insights. And I'm seeing the trends that were in place accelerating or having that step change because of COVID. So I'm a director in a retail business. And the reason I've been involved in that is because they were moving to more online, more omni-channel, more pop-ups. And now with COVID, that's accelerated that change in the high street, that change from, you know, online. And, you know, in your sector, I've been doing quite a bit as well around the electric vehicle and new energy infrastructure. And I think we're going to see that accelerating and that as well. So that trend could shift again when governments pump money into, you know, re-stimulating the economy. Are they going to stimulate with new technologies and new business models, or are they going to do the old ones? I think we'll see some new ones happening in those spaces. And we've had Evonik on a previous call, you know, on a previous one of these sessions, we're in chemicals and materials. And that's, I think, plays to Alex's point here, that those big manufacturing infrastructure things, which aren't going to be affected long term, but doing deals or doing large deals at the moment, you can't do because you physically can't get put back together. So those things, I think, will kick back up. But other perspectives from others around the call, because I know some of you, some of your corporates and your venturing activities are looking into these new spaces. So are you now positive about those coming about after COVID?
Great. So if that's it, I'd like to really thank Alex for providing some really stimulating statistics and in the discussion, and thanking you all very much for actively participating, giving your comments and contributing to all. So thanks very much, Alex. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Ciao.
Wonderful. Thanks, everybody. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks a lot.